Oh, good morning, afternoon, and evening, all you angels. I'll begin our time with a quote. This, my dear, is the greatest challenge to being alive: to witness injustice in the world and not allow it to consume our light. The late Thich Nhat Hanh, revered Vietnamese Zen master, a prolific author and global peace activist, said and wrote many, many other such words of wisdom and sound advice. His innumerable insights have helped and encourage generations of spiritual pilgrims along the way. Is it difficult to witness injustice in the world and not allow it to consume our light? The answer depends on who you are and where you focus your attention. We are presumably aware that we are truly and fully in the world, yet not at all of it. We may see myriad things deemed to be just or unjust in the world we create. But I am the light of my world, and nothing external can consume or eclipse that. We know that we each see in the light that we ourselves express. Since what I see and how I see it is inexorably determined by what I express, it's clear that I am responsible for the world that I see. It's also clear, to me anyway, that below the crossover point of divine identity, so-called objectivity is a myth. So, how's your day going? Here's a snapshot from my daily life. Most of us are on the road pretty often these days. I don't say this metaphorically, although it might be a good metaphor. But I mean physically on the road, driving. We've all heard the familiar Department of Motor Vehicles admonition, drive defensively. For a long time, my automobile piloting motto has been drive radiantly. Maintaining an alert focus of calm control. My atmosphere of peace fills my car and extends all around it, especially ahead. I'm a big bubble of serenity going 70 on the freeway. As it happened a few days ago, alone in the car, driving per my motto, music playing from the radio. The calm of the moment was all at once interrupted.
This is a test. This is is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. The message you are hearing is...
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. The message you are hearing... Okay, familiar? It is to most Americans, and probably a similar systems in place in countries throughout the developed world. The raucous noise, obviously designed to get attention. It's followed by a message, which would presumably contain instructions about what to do in the event of an actual emergency. The first necessity is to pay attention. Then, after the noise, comes the message. An emergency is generally defined as an urgent, usually unexpected occurrence or occasion requiring immediate action. It's the noun form of the verb to emerge. To emerge means to come forth into view or notice as from concealment or obscurity. The Latin root of the word means to arise out of. What is arising out of my heart and mind? What is emerging? This is what I express. This is what I give to the world. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A pure heart delivers truth. An impure heart just adds to the noise. In this busy, noisy, crazy world, what do I pay most attention to? If it's the noisy news, for example, regardless of preferred media choices, it's like hearing that attention-getting blare and trying to make sense of it. It's like trying to somehow discern its meaning. But there is no sense, and there is no meaning to the blaring noise. I prefer to interpret noise as a test of my inner emergency alert system. And this test is going on all the time. I'm not suggesting we ignore the news media, just that we not allow our feelings and thoughts to get sucked into that noisy maelstrom and lose touch with our inner heavenly alert system. Noise is defined in my dictionary as loud, harsh, or confused sound. And an electric disturbance in a communications system that interferes with or prevents reception of a signal or of information. And catch this, the origin of the English word noise is a Latin root, nausea, meaning seasickness. Okay. The noisy world is not only loud, harsh, and confused, it's sick. I mean, more than sick, it's terminally ill. Mm-hmm. And its disease is, sadly, readily communicable. This world of noise and nausea is in the process of passing away. That's what all the shouting is really about. And I say it's passing pretty rapidly. This is the first stanza of Alan Fisher's recent poem, In and Out. What do we allow in, and what do we give out? Do we still walk around with fear and doubt? Do we buy all the news that the media sells? Or do we stay true to what our inner voice tells? Thank you, Alan. We may each ask ourselves, what takes up space in my consciousness? The noise of the cacophonous human world? Or the quiet good news that a new heaven is present everywhere, here and now? I am not interested in being hopeful or optimistic or working diligently to reverse the patterned path of history we tread so reliably toward collapse. I want to walk steady in the world, learning what balance feels like, blessed by the active presence of companions in the sacred world. Those lines were written by Margaret Wheatley. I first met Meg in the early 1990s and took part in several of her workshops and gatherings over a decade or so. These took various forms, but in one way or another, each blended personal development with enlightened business and life leadership and applied spirituality. You may know Meg is a noted author, speaker, and thought leader in diverse fields of upward aspiration. The portion of her poem I quoted is included in Meg's latest book, Opening to the World as It Is, Poems of Experience. Her phrase, companions in the sacred world, carries profound meaning. She's a lifelong proponent of community and perhaps, although I don't actually know, has a sense that there is finer community beyond human collectives. Those who know themselves as we truly are, creator beings having human experience, feel intimately acquainted with colleague beings, both incarnate and not. We are all companions in the sacred world, in the whole holy world, not just people, but all life. What a contrast to that world of noise. Last week, Pamela and I planted this season's tomatoes in our small backyard garden plot. We'll add a few squash plants soon. Holding a fragile plant in my hands, I recall the theories that I've read about how plants work, how they alchemically convert the energy of sunlight into their food through the marvel of photosynthesis. Plants receive sunlight energy to convert carbon dioxide and water into glucose, releasing oxygen as a byproduct. Holding a little tomato plant, concepts of its biology receded, replaced by simple gratitude for the miracle of it all. In that fleeting moment, the tomato revealed that it is, in essence, made of light. So are we. All creation is light in form. I feel the God of brevity steering my words today. Let's live in our bubbles of serenity, purposefully cruising the free ways of our lives, while far vaster processes of creation move perfectly to manifest order and beauty. As companions in the sacred world, we stand united among those who steward this recreation. Let there be light. Let there be light. And let there be comments from anyone who might wish to add any. Thank you.
John, this is very refreshing. Fresh. Not to have to load one's brain with all that's going on. I listen to a few podcasts here and there. And what comes across is everyone that's explaining things are absolutely sure they're right. Absolutely. There's no question about it. How wonderful to see the whole picture. And wonderful to know that the mind, particularly the educated mind, comes up with all sorts of, I'm right, and that's the way it is. I find that very tiresome. The simple way of planting a plant or organizing a home or whatever happens to be up. When the flesh body exudes a light from it, then there is light. Yes, let there be light. and let it be light. It isn't a huge, serious problem. God didn't make a big mistake here. All is well, and there is room and space for my light, our light, the light, to come through. That's the important thing. This is inspiring and refreshing to hear simplicity. Ah, thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Great.
I agree, John. Oh, I agree, John. I love this beautifully clear, simple message this morning. It resonates at my very core. Yes, this I'm thinking of the second step of the creative process. Yolanda articulated so beautifully in the Behold, I Create series, which I've been reading of late. And it has to do with atmosphere. This wonderful air force that symbolizes spirit. And the space you've provided this morning is exquisitely clean and open, like an open, honest question. Where art thou? Well, I'm here with you and the whole holy atmosphere of those sacred ones you've referenced. And we are present. We are bringing the light in such a unique and potent, subtle, potent way this morning. And I thank you so much for this beautiful space we're creating.
John, you make my heart leap. I have this beautiful sense of walking in the garden. And the garden's in a fallow state. In this part of the world, that can be very, very evident, where it appears that it appears desolate. There's nothing happening. There's almost sometimes it looks like, how could there be hope for this? And I see, well, that's where we are right now in being present here. We are here to steward that which longs to come forth, and see ourselves as destined to do this together, that we provide the substance for this to happen. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, there is hope. Hope in the truest sense. So great to be with you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, John. That was a really wonderful, wonderful. I love that simplicity of expressing soul. And I was reminded, you know, I have my happy, sacred, happy place deep inside me where there is silence. There is a beautiful element of substance. And when I'm in that place, my whole world just opens up because I'm attuned to whatever is going on around me. And I listen to the sound, not the noise. In that sacred place, it's very interesting because there is no noise, outside noise. I won't let that in. My emotional, psychic, spiritual energy is focused somewhere else. And wherever I go, where I'm out in the desert museum, like I was yesterday, photographing a beautiful little hummingbird, you know, doing its thing with flowers and whatever, or I'm in a community with a group of friends discussing something that is worthwhile and beautiful. That's soul for me. That is where my energy is focused. And what is going on in the world is sad, yes, but I don't need to be emotionally or in any other way involved with it, because as long as I dwell in that happy, sacred place of mine, my world is clear. It's beautiful. I understand what I need to understand. I do what I need to do, and I do it joyfully and with lots of color and beauty, and that sacred place is always there. And when I step out of it, bad things can happen momentarily until I get back in there. So I have learned over the years, over the decades, to stay calm and really enjoy that place. That place where you're planting your tomatoes, you know, where there is fresh air, where there is beauty coming, even from a tiny little seed and little plant. And so here we are. Yes, we work, do all this together. We all have our individual ways of dealing with these things. But because there is that element of joyful shared spirit, we move together. And we really appreciate each other and what each of us has to offer, and so on. It's wonderful, fun stuff to do this kind of work, you know, and be present always in my sacred place, be present in the moment with whoever I'm dealing with, whatever car problems we have. We've run into quite a few of those because we do a lot of traveling too. And it's all good. It's all okay. And we can smile, and we can carry that wonderful positive spirit. And that's where I stand. And I really, and that's where I am. And I really, really appreciate moments like this with you, because that just brings it all into focus, and it's all good. Thank you.
Thank you, Kinga.
Yes, John, I also am very thankful for the tone of balance that you brought this morning. Actually, it caused me to think, it's actually a privilege to steward this cycle of the world's disintegration. I want to remember that. I don't want to ignore it. I find actually I'm in the moving process, so I'm doing a lot of unpacking and so forth. But I also, I do listen to quite a bit of news. I listen via YouTube to stations from France, from England, from Germany, sometimes from the Middle East, etc., plus the US. And I'm listening because I want to feel the pulse. Where is people's consciousness? What awakening is happening? And what can I do that might assist? And I just want to give a little vignette since you mentioned driving. Eugene and I were on the way to Rocky Mountain National Park to celebrate my birthday. And as I was driving on one of the back roads, not the main one, but a motorcycle came very fast, and it was at such an angle coming the other way, I wondered if he was going to tip over. And behind him was another car, also same speed. And in the rearview mirror, I saw that car swerve off one way. And then, probably because she turned the wheel quickly, the other way, which was the riverbank. So I told Eugene what was going on, and he said, let's go back. So we went back, and it was a miracle that she wasn't hurt. But Eugen remembered something that he had heard from, I don't know if it was Lindsay Rawlings or who, in an emissary class ages ago, about how important it is to be present when an accident happens to preserve the pneumoplasm. This woman did not know the word pneumoplasm, but that's what Eugen was doing with his hand on her back and just comforting her. And she wasn't hurt. She was in trauma, but she wasn't hurt. And I think about that as it relates to our world and all that we're hearing on the news. We can help preserve the pneumoplasm, as you said, for any, somewhere in my notes, for any who are interested, ready, their hearts are open to what is emerging. Such a beautiful analogy of the tomato plant, because we are planting a garden for the new world that is to emerge among the companions in this sacred world. Thank you for this fine time.
Thank you, Marcia.
What gets my attention are all those angels that are part of this spiritual community that are doing that. And different quotes have been used to highlight various ones. I'm sure we could all have different connections in the world that we have and see this emergence, this spiritual emergence. That is what's happening. I was listening to a PBS episode recently, and there was the emergency broadcasting. It was the words that went across the screen because the broadcaster needed to do that. It was required. But instead of the blare of the sound to try to get people's attention, it was classical music. It was beautiful music. And so there was the message, but it gave people the opportunity to see it in a different light, to say, okay, of course, we know that. We're not going to be tested and try to get our attention by all these means. But we know that it is the light that we are that is emanating from us that connects with the light of so many others and affirms that. And it's so wonderful to voice these things and let that emanation go forth, blessing the world. So, thank you.
If I could just continue with the driving analogy. I'm so much aware that when I'm driving, I am not driving. I'm not doing the driving. As you said, John, I'm the ball of serenity. The car is doing the driving, and I'm there to direct with the wheel where I need to go to avoid mishaps or to pass someone who's too slow or to back away from someone who's going fast or being erratic or whatever it might be. But the Lord is driving the car. The light of this world is actually driving the car, and we're here to enjoy and be delighted in with words, with everybody's different personalities. It's a real joy just to be here and to be a part of it, and just know that it really is no big deal to just be here. So thank you.
Thank you, Marianne.
Well, and here we are, this wonderful light being bubbling around in this bubble of serenity. And the image in my mind at the moment is this bubble is just sort of rolling. And here we are, and it tumbling and under control and beautifully moving along. And out from this bubble comes this spirit of serenity. And the darkness that is around doesn't come back in, but is blessed by this light that is emanating through this rolling bubble of which I am in the midst. And I was reading recently about the life of Dwight Eisenhower. And there was so much about this man I had never realized. But one of the things that really impressed me that kind of relates to this is apparently there was a paperweight that sat on his desk and was his motto, if you will. And it was, let me see if I can get it straight now in my mind. It was gentle in manner, firmly in action. And I thought that was so beautiful, and it relates to what we're talking about, what you brought out, John, and what we've been sharing this morning, because it, here we are, this serenity, this gentleness in a way of manner, and yet it's not so that the bubble gets smashed in, all around us is constantly smashed in, and we're hitting, oh, here I am, this light coming out with this thing. But it's firm, it's strong, it's powerful. And we're firm in our action, but we're gentle in manner. So here is this beautiful, graceful rolling around that is actually all powerful, God in action on earth. Because now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, here we are letting that emanate out. So thank you, John.
Thanks, Marty.
John, thank you for your wonderful beingness and what you shared with us today. I appreciate the mention by many of our friends after you spoke of atmosphere and substance. And what's been uppermost in my experience is the recognition of the need for a clear atmosphere. And I think it could be said that it's only through a clear heaven. I think it could be said it's only through that pure radiance can have its greatest effect. Love and truth can manifest in so many ways in our world. And we are responsible in various ways and have connections with people. And through those people events, we can touch them directly. But there is a stuck state in the world, as you were mentioning. And while freedom is a concern of many people, including in this day, the place of real freedom is in heaven. And so it is through the maintenance of heaven and the clarity of that, the pure quality that all of us can come through. And who is there who knows how to do that? I would say most, if not all of us, have had years of experience in living in heaven and allowing what could be called the word of God or the tone of life to come through in all we do. And so we are needed. That's what's needed to happen. And engagement with people in our world to let it come all the way through. Just as when there are no clouds, the sun shines through onto the earth and there is warmth and new life. So thank you.
Thanks, Joey.
John, what a delightful time this is this morning. There's a phrase out there that comes up frequently that to separate the signal from the noise. And the signal is really what we're about, bringing the word, bringing the light into our world. And I'm aware that with
with spiritual discernment, the good news is that there are many groups and many leaders, such as you mentioned, this author, who are touching into reality of spirit. And those are the ones I delight in enfolding and hearing and watching grow. And there are many such groups around the world. I am also of the mind that in order to function, that there is a certain stability that we as human beings need. And that stability has been greatly disturbed. And I think that's about to come back round so that this generation can continue and continue throughout the world. These are the times for which we came. And we do know how to be in heaven, on earth, and together. That is the good news. Thank you.
Thanks, Deborah Ann. Her words about noise and signal reminded me in the ham radio world, we have something called the noise to signal ratio. And that is how much signal can actually get through in a transmission with all of the noise that surrounds it. And the noise ratio, noise to signal ratio is pretty high right now. It's a lot of noise and not a lot of signal getting through. And caused me to coin a new word, I think, when you talked about nausea and the noise, and that's noisia. And noisia is the condition that many of us live in right now. And it's the root cause of it is seeking certainty through the news. Seeking that really is certainty about our confirming our biases or our fears or our hopes in some way, listening to the news to gather that. And I know that the many, many times that people are listening to the news has increased a lot. And it's that sense of uncertainty. And I go back to not what do I think I know, but what do I actually know? And where does my certainty come from? It's not through the news. It's not through social media. It's not through so many other places. It's just to listen to that signal and find the truth underneath the noise. And I'm having a different experience, partly setting aside the news for a couple of days a week. Saturdays and Wednesdays, I've determined I just take a breath and just take a break from the news. And it's helping a lot, that, and returning to a place that I actually remember quite deeply when I allow myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Cliff. And thank you all, everyone who has spoken. And maybe there are others. I hope I'm not cutting someone off who wants to say something, but.
I'll speak, John. I've been doing a lot of work with an organization that highly prizes Meg Wheatley's work. And part of that work is sensing the system, where you actually sense what's going on in the group that you're with. And then you sense what you need to provide in that respect. Christine sent me a video the other day of David Brooks's work. And he's also a person that's admired in this organization I've been working with. But in terms of, Christine was mentioning that just to hold steady in this time now. And so I wrote back to her, hold steady with it, steady with a presence of praise. And as I find I do that, then something clears. It's in the process of clearing and then getting to the other side of that. And then sharing each with each other here, we can sense the eagerness. We all want to come forth and say something, but sometimes we're a little reticent to say something because we sense we don't know because we're going to put ourselves out there. But to recognize we're all in on this. You know, we were watching a program last night, Anne with an E. I don't know if you've seen that program on Netflix, and the character is all in. like she's all invested in an expression of life. And for all of us to know that we're all in on this and to acknowledge that, whether we have a chance to say something or not.
Great. Thank you, Steve. We've been all in for a long time, haven't we? You know, that famous quote, "Let there be light," from the early verses of Genesis, is preceded by, "And God said." Well, who do you think that was? Let there be light. We were among those saying, "Let there be light," with one accord in one place, then as well as now. Within the bubble of serenity, what is integrating and coming into the world that is creative is far, far vaster than an old something that is passing away because it can't contain the light. We share a perspective that time cannot measure. Let there be light. We are those who say, along with others, let there be light. We are companions in this sacred world. Indeed. So, thank you all.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.